Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I am coming to you today from Essen, Germany. What am I doing in Essen? Well, I am at the German Travel Mart. I spent the last week in Bremen, and Lüneburg Heath. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about each of these places and what makes them so special and about the experience I've had on a press trip, what that's like, and a few other really fun, wild, instigating things that I made happen throughout this trip. I hope I am coherent for you because it has been a long week so far, but very fun, of course. If you've never heard of a press trip before, basically sometimes tourism boards or different city governments will invite journalists out to experience things in their city so they can write about them and, you know, bring people to their city, which, you know, they want. So we're, especially post-COVID, we're trying to keep the tourism industry thriving, and it's actually doing really well once again after everything was closed for so long. So the purpose of a press trip is to bring tourism to different places. While press trips can be a lot of fun, they are definitely also very hard work, and you get to experience tons of things in an itinerary that you're provided with, usually starting very early in the morning and ending very late at night, so you don't get a lot of sleep. You're walking many, many miles throughout the day, and you're just going nonstop, which, to be honest, is my favorite kind of trip, but I know a lot of people do not like that type of travel. So for the past 4 days, after a 17, 18-hour, 19-hour journey into Munich and then to Bremerhaven, I slept a full night's sleep, got up, had a half day, and then from then on have been basically getting up at 6 a.m., maybe a little bit later if I'm pushing it because we have to be out the door, having eaten breakfast at 8 a.m., and it goes until about, usually dinner is at 7:30 or 8 or 8:30, so we're getting back into our hotel rooms at 10, 10:30, 11, and then I have to do a little bit of work. And then by the time I'm ready to decompress, I just get a few hours of sleep. So I might sound a little tired and less coherent than normal, but I do think it's important to come to you guys live from Essen right now so I can tell you about these experiences while they're fresh in my mind. Let us start with Bremerhaven. So this is the first place that I went after flying into Bremer and then up to Bremerhaven. And arriving in Germany. And we stayed at the Atlantic Hotel Sail City, which is actually right on the North Sea at the very top of Germany. And most of the hotel rooms just look out over into the water. So it's beautiful. And the entire town of Bremerhaven is just like, it's like a seaport. I mean, it's very much leaning into the fact that it's on the North Sea. And that's where Germany's fish industry really has been for hundreds of years. So it's a fishing town. And naturally, there's boats everywhere. There's restaurants on the water. But even more than that, it's an incredibly sustainable, eco-friendly place, as is most places in Germany, honestly. Germany is pretty much the only place that I've been to recently, or at least that I work with, that really pushes sustainability, and they don't promote any place that does not practice these standards. So when you go to Germany, everything is eco-friendly. It's very serious about that, and they're continuing to transform and do better and try to make a difference in the world, which is actually pretty incredible. And Bremerhaven is definitely no exception there. Neither is the Atlantic Hotel Sail City. And a lot of the places that we saw were focused on sustainability. So the first day that I got to Germany, we went up to the fish ports to see where all the fishing action takes place. So that was pretty interesting. They definitely have come a long way. We got to see the history of how it started a couple hundred years ago and the actions they're putting in to keep the fishing there sustainable now. And what I really liked about it, honestly, is they've turned this area into this cute little charming, you know, seaside port for people to come. And it's a lot of local families that come there and get to, you know, get the fish that are fresh caught there, that are prepared there. It's all very local. and you get to see all of these cool little fishing shops, the places where that you can see where they catch the fish, you see where they're selling the fish. And more than that, I mean, it's just this cool little small town atmosphere, which is what I love about Germany. Even though we're in a big city in Bremerhaven, there's this cute little nook where you kind of get to feel like you're in a small little fishing village. So they kind of still held on to that history and what it was. And it's very charming. It was definitely a cool place to visit. And then we went from there to the Immigration Museum. And it's really funny because, I don't know, I think all of us were thinking, why were we going to an immigration museum? What's at an immigration museum? What do I want to see here? I mean, it was kind of described like the museum that is in Ellis Isle at New York, but, you know, in Germany, about why people were leaving Germany and coming to Ellis Isle or to other places too. But the main focus was coming to New York. And I don't think any of us really expected much, to be completely honest. And then we walked into the experience in the first room and we're like, oh, I mean, all of a sudden the whole experience just gets amped up to this next level and everyone is so immersed in because the production value. Now, one of the representatives that was with me was telling me that this museum, before we went in, he was saying this museum really pulls on your heartstrings and is dramatic in kind of an American way. They're all saying that, you know, the German museums are very cut and paste across the board, but they were saying that American museums, you know, they're made to make you feel empathy and it's drama. And, you know, I got it, but then I got it when I walked into that first room and they kind of recreate this scene where it's dark and there's people lining up to get on the ship to leave Germany. And I mean, they recreated in this room, like there's a little pier and there's the boat and it's kind of like put into the wall and there's an actual water system where the water should be. And there's mannequins all looking up at the ship. People are waving goodbye. People are waiting to line up on the ship. And for half a second, they looked like real people. I mean, it was very well done. And it took me a second to realize that they're not real people and that they were, in fact, mannequins. And I mean, it just set this dramatic scene and instantly every journalist has their camera out. They have their video, you know, their video cameras out and everyone's walking through just trying to get as much footage as they can because this is the production value is just incredible. And they really paid attention to every detail, the sights, the sounds, everything to make you feel like you're in this scene. So it did tug on your heartstrings and you're immediately kind of drawn into this like it's a movie or you're in a play. And they actually give you these little cards, kind of like the Holocaust Museum did in Washington, D.C., where you have a person that you are for the day who left Germany, who left from Bremerhaven to go to Ellis Isle or another port, but I think most of them were Ellis Isle. And it had their name. And then the next room, you know, you're going through and it's like a hall of records that's situated like a library, but on a boat. And I mean, it's like the 19 or the 1890s. I mean, it was so immersive, like I said. And you find your person in this hall of records and like that's like, again, looks like a library on a boat. And you can pull out this phone and listen to your person's story and how it starts in this first room when they're leaving Bremerhaven and why they're leaving Bremerhaven. And then you continue to go through. You actually walk back through that first room and go up onto the ship. So you walk up the dock into this fake ship up to the next level. And on that level, they've recreated what it would be like for the different classes of passengers on this immigration ship. And it was crazy. So they told us, the guide told us that the floor is not actually moving, but it feels like you're moving on a boat, like you can get seasick in there because they have it tilted slightly. You're trying to recorrect it with your body and then, you know, you kind of start to sway and then it's like you're actually on a boat. And the way that the floor felt under your feet, it's like creaking. They make it creak and the material. So you legitimately feel like you're walking on a ship. And then there's, of course, sounds and there's dramatic lighting and you really feel like hell, I'll just say, when you're in the steerage, you know, class where there's not pleasant sounds and people are sick and it's dark and then it's a dramatic contrast to then, you know, the first class, which you get to see as you continue to walk through this immersive experience. And then it takes you to a room where you can actually answer questions like you're immigrating and seeing if you can make it through based on how you look and, you know, how quickly you answer these questions and how you answer these questions. And you get put into these cells where you can then hear more about your person and their story. And then it kind of winds up taking you all the way through. And then you can find out what happened to them. And then there's more afterwards, too. They're working on a section about people immigrating into Germany. And it's really compelling. I mean, the mannequins, the amount of like resources they had to put into getting these mannequins, because they look so lifelike. And I mean, the people have hair, they have pores. I mean, the people that sculpt these, I think they have them specially made. It's the details are incredible. And then it continues to go down to life in America, and it kind of recreates scenes from the early 1900s and what it would be like in a deli, and kind of talk more about, you know, how a lot of people started delis. And it was a very, very wonderful experience. And I can honestly say I was blown away just by how interesting they made this topic, because I mean, people don't really think I'm going to go to an immigration museum or they don't say it with excitement. But I mean, this literally, it had me excited. It really did tug at your emotions and make you feel like you're immersed. And it was fun in a way. I mean, to get to live through that. And it hits the point because you're learning what these people went through, and it was tough, and you get to experience it, but in this really cool and exciting way. So that was definitely an incredible experience. And then we had a nice dinner at Pier 6, which was just absolutely lovely. And to be honest, I was really impressed by Pier 6 just because the owner came out to talk to us, which is, you know, really nice in the first place for him to do that. But then he also himself was picking out a wine that he thought would be personal and best for all of us, and then was actually serving us, which was, it's nice to see, I guess, an owner that's so humble that he's, you know, in the trenches with everyone too. And that was a really cool experience. And then the next day, we got up super early and went to Bremen. And so the night before, I should actually probably preface this, at dinner, I knew we were going to Bremen. And I, of course, always have to look online about what the weirdest thing a place has to offer so that I can see it, because I think I've said it a million times, but when you go somewhere and you see the weirdest thing there, that's really what defines that place's character, in my opinion, and I just have to see it. So there actually really is nothing listed as being weird in Bremerhaven, but Bremen had mummies, which is hilarious because this is actually the second time this has happened to me on a press trip, where I looked up what's weird nearby and found that there's mummies. So the first time that it happened, I was in a press trip in Guanajuato, and I've actually been to the mummies. There's a mummy museum in Guanajuato that I had been to before with a friend. And so when I went back to Guanajuato on a press trip, I knew that I had to go back and see those mummies and get some videos and pictures and all of that for the press stuff and for Weird World, the show, because it was just unreal. We'll talk about that at another time, but you can look on my blog, mallorysadventures.com, search on it, Mummies de Guanajuato, or just mummies, and then that will come up and you can read that story because it's unreal. Anyway, so and on that trip, I basically pressured and pushed them until they changed the itinerary to take us to see the mummies. And since it was in Mexico, it's Las Momias. So every time they'd, oh, we're going to do this today, and then we're going to do this, and y Las Momias. And it just kept happening until they finally said, fine, we'll take you to the mummies. So this time, I'm like, well, maybe I can pressure them to take me to see the mummies again. So the night before, you know, we have this guide with us who's kind of like a chaperone, just herding all the kittens that, you know, like journalists, like, no, come here. You got to be over here right now. And he was really, really cool. And I told him about it, and he's like, oh, that is cool. I like weird stuff too. Maybe we can see them. And he was so immediately down. So that was a good sign. And when we got, he's like, we'll talk to the guide in Bremen. So then we get to Bremen, we meet the guide. He's like, talk to him, go ask him. So of course I go over and I'm like, hey, I heard that there's these mummies under St. Peter's Cathedral. Do you think? And he's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, do you think we could see them? And he's like, oh no. And he just sounded so exasperated, like, what? No, that's not on the agenda. And just kind of shut me down. And I was like, oh, this guy's going to be hard. Okay. And so then, you know, I kept pushing a little bit. Like, he'd say, yeah, we're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, and the mummies? And then he's like, oh, this is St. Peter's Cathedral. Oh, is that where the mummies are? And I definitely had help from our guide / chaperone, who I think actually took him aside at one point and had a conversation in German and was telling him, like, look, her angle with her personal journalism that she does is weird stuff. So I really feel like this would help her with her story for Bremen. And I mean, he worked it. And so I guess they had their whole conversation. And meanwhile, I'm accidentally rallying the troops over here because now everybody else on the press trip is talking about the mummies. And they all want to see the mummies too. And again, this is what happened the first time too. So I'm just trouble, I guess. And so I'm getting everybody really excited about the mummies. And it got to a point, I think, where close to lunch, he kind of pulled me aside. He's like the guide for Bremen. And he's like, hey, come here. At lunchtime, I checked. I reached out to people and the mummies are open. So they're all going to go out to lunch and we're going to sneak off and go see the mummies. But don't tell anybody anymore. Just don't talk about it because it's just going to be secret because we don't have enough time to take everybody to see the mummies. And I was like, yes, thank you. So he was awesome. He really did me a solid there. And we actually got to go in and see these. There's 8 naturally mummified bodies in glass coffins housed in an underground crypt in St. Peter's Cathedral. So it's beneath the cathedral. And they originally believed that the bodies sometimes that they couldn't find the families for, or that they needed to store, were kind of put under the church because it's a holy place. And they originally believed that these bodies were resting there for that purpose. And then that there was lead in the ground of the area that actually naturally mummified them. However, he said that they found out with further research that it was actually the way that they were sealed. They were so sealed off from everything where they were that it mummified them. And there was a soldier there that had a bullet wound in his back. They actually did x-rays on him because they originally thought he fell off a roof because of his face, because it looks a little surprised. And then after the x-rays, they realized he had a bullet hole in his back. And then there was also a husband and wife, and they were placed separately. And when we had asked, well, why are they so far apart from each other, one of the people that worked there made a joke, like, oh, well, their marriage wasn't doing well in life, so they wanted to be separated a little bit at death. So there was definitely some humor going on down there. But the church, you know, it is a church, and they do want the bodies to be treated with respect, obviously. So, you know, we were very respectful with our time there, but it was really cool to see these naturally mummified bodies underneath of a church that, I mean, were accidentally found. And that's, I mean, it's very similar to the Guanajuato story. And it's funny to me how often now I'm in these places and there's just mummies. Last time I went to the Winchester Mystery House with my friends for a press event for their Halloween experience called Unhinged, we had a bunch of time to kill and we put in what's nearby that's weird. And aside from the Winchester Mystery House, the next thing that comes up was a mummy museum. So it's apparently very, very common that you're just going to find mummies all over the place. Anyway, so that was very exciting. There was also just this charming, gorgeous, wonderful city center in Bremen. One of the things I love, love, love about Germany is their city centers are really, at least a lot of the ones that weren't destroyed over time, are these beautiful, charming, you know, still partially medieval, partially Baroque, partially Renaissance areas that have all been altered over time throughout the decade. But you can see, you can actually like read the centuries of history and when the buildings were, you know, renovated or how old they are. And it's something that's just consistent across a lot of Germany. And it's so beautiful. And again, I just love those houses with the super triangular roofs. And they have those down there too, like these taller buildings with those big triangular roofs. So there's actually this statue there called the Bremen Town Musicians. And it is a pride and joy for them. It's a bronze statue that is meant to be a tribute to one of the popular Brothers Grimm's fairy tales from that area. And it's four animals standing on top of each other. It's very interesting. And just like the Heidelberg monkey, which is in Heidelberg, it's a statue of a monkey holding a mirror. It has this legend and lore to it where you have to hold, so there's a donkey at the bottom and you have to hold his two front legs with both of your hands and then make a wish. And then if whatever wish you make is supposedly going to come true. But you can't talk about it, kind of like blowing out the candles in a birthday cake. And if you only hold it with one hand, nothing's going to happen and you look stupid. So our guide had a really fun story about that. So that was something that was interesting too. And I also liked the parallels between that and the Heidelberg monkey, because this is the second time I've been in Germany now where they have a statue that's supposed to bring you luck, that you can touch in a certain way and the luck comes to you, otherwise you look stupid. So that was actually a really fun thing to see. And then our guide also showed me where the last public execution in Bremen was held. And there's like a spot that doesn't have any information or plaque, but it's just a spot on the ground that they put a little metal grate on that kind of symbolizes, hey, this is where it was. So we had a lot of fun in Bremen, and I was really excited that I got to see my mummies. And then we went back to Bremerhaven, and we went to Klimathaus. So Klimathaus was actually, it was cool. And that was something that when I looked up originally, I'm like, oh, I'm going to like this, because it's part art exhibit in a way, part science museum. And it commemorates this guy who went on a journey down this entire longitude line of the world. And he stopped in each like major city and place down along this longitude line and lived with the people for a while, immersed himself in the climate, and then came back and created this museum for it. And so there's a room for each of the cities he visited along the way, and they recreated in each of these rooms the climate of that place and the feel of it, so you can feel what it would be like to be immersed into his story. And again, I mean, this is another one of those museums that pulls on you and it immerses you in. And I mean, it was a really incredible experience. There was a room where, you know, you are going to Antarctica and it's -8 degrees Celsius. They make it really cold in there, and you're walking through and there's the snow and there's a tent, like you're a researcher in the tent. And there's Africa when you get to the part of, like, you know, the Sahara Desert in Africa where he was. They create this room with the dried sand, and it's humid and it's hot, and if you spend too much time in there, you're going to start sweating because it's really humid and hot. And then he plays videos from the people that he met along the way, and it was a really amazing experience. And of course there's parts where you can, you know, play and get involved and cross a rope bridge and then jump back across on the rocks. And there's also animals there. There's small animals and reptiles. So that was pretty cool to see. I mean, it was just, again, this immersive experience. I've never been so drawn into a museum before, because it's not just a cut and paste, okay, read about this. It's an immersive experience. You get to play. And I think Klimathaus was really exceptional for that, just like the Immigration Museum was. Then, let's see. After that, we went to Lüneburg Heath. And it's a national park up there in Germany. And it's in a very small village area. There's actually a bunch of little tiny villages along the way. I think they said one had 38 inhabitants in it that we passed through. And there was another that we went to that had 70. So very, very, very small, charming, fairy tale-like villages, really. I mean, it's like they're straight out of a fairy tale. And lots of horses and, of course, sheep. And it was an incredible experience. So we actually started at the Lundberg Heath and walked through the forest to then get to the heath. And I think we walked 7 kilometers. But when we first got there to meet together, we all used the restrooms and went into this little museum that's there for it. Like a tiny, it's in a tiny house. And they had this sheep stuffed animal. And or it's a little lamb. And I had to get it because I used to have a lamb stuffed animal as a kid. I think they're adorable. And I don't know. It tugged on my heartstrings. And I just love stuffed animals. I'm a child. So I got my lamb. And I asked our guide to give him a true German name. So his name is Heinz. So we have Heinz the lamb. And we had started walking, you know, we went to the place, we did that, we started walking. So I just kind of put him in my scarf because it was really cold. I was wearing a scarf. So it was kind of like a papoose. So he was hanging out with me for the day and people couldn't seem to get enough of it. So then all of a sudden everybody, you know, on the trip keeps talking about Heinz. And he's a whole discussion and everyone gets involved in his naming and, you know, we're walking through and everyone just giggles at Heinz. And it became such a thing that then everybody wanted their own Heinz. So the other guide from the local guide from Lundberg Heath actually had to go back that night and get different sheep, get a bunch of sheep for everybody to bring back the next day because everyone wanted their own Heinz. And our guide, he had one he specially got. And I told him it needed to have an American name since mine had a German name. And so we named it Sam because we weren't sure about its gender at the time. So it could be either or both. Sam could be non-binary. Sam could be a guy. Sam could be a girl. So he had Sam. I had Heinz. And it was quite the experience. And if I do say so myself, a lot of people eat sheep up there. There's a lot of sheep sausage. And I have to say that Heinz guilted a lot of people that day that were eating sheep because I don't eat sheep. I don't eat lamb. I just don't. But it was more like the joke that he was just sitting on the table and they're all eating their sheep sausage and I covered his eyes. And then, and then our guide stopped eating sheep because he was traumatized. But anyway, it was quite an experience. It was a lot of fun. The heath up there is absolutely beautiful. There's something so elemental, I feel like, in being in these old European countrysides. And it was really wonderful. We had a nice, delicious meal in a very small town there, or village, I should say, a very small village. So we took a carriage ride to a different hotel where we had some nice coffee. And the horse carriage ride was really, really just incredible and fun. And it was really cold though. I mean, it's a very cold, cold spring right now in Germany. And then we made it back. And today, before we left to come to Essen for the German Travel Mart, a sheep herder came to greet us with his 500 to 600 individual sheep who we could hear off in the distance. We were at the hotel. It was really funny. And you can just hear them like, meh, but I mean like screaming from afar. And as they approach and you watch them get bigger and bigger and bigger until all of a sudden the hotel is just being swarmed with sheep. And it's like, it's an outdoor kind of like a campy kind of hotel. Like they call it a camp, but it's really kind of like a motel style feel, but it's very like nature-esque, like you're camping and all these sheep just swarm the courtyard. And it was really awesome, actually. They're all running around. At one point I was in the middle of just this sea of sheep. And there's the sheep dog who's running around them and moving them through, and the shepherd who's dressed so traditionally. And it was a really amazing experience to get to see the sheep up close and watch the sheep dog do his work and the shepherd. And I think the best part was I was worried about them, you know, farming these sheep. What are they being farmed for? I hope they're not making sausages out of them. And luckily, those sheep were specifically just for, you know, land control. So they're just eating the vegetation and keeping the grass and the heath nice and clean, so those sheep have a good life. Flash forward a 3.5 hour train ride later, and we are now in Essen, and I am exhausted, but I'm very fulfilled, and I'm excited to explore Essen over the next few days in the German Travel Mart, and I can't wait to tell you guys all about that too, but that's going to be on the next episode. So stay tuned. I hope you enjoyed hearing about Germany, and I will update you all soon about what it's like in Essen. Until then, stay weird.